Ladies and gentlemen, be known of America!
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Banal of America Audio, with your host, Tim Banal.
What is going on, my friends? This is Tim Banal of banalofamerica.com with the 2012 BOA Audio Baseball Special. Kind of an odd edition of the program, sitting in the ether between BOA Audio Season 6 and Season 7. If you're tuning in for info on our impending new season, you're going to get some teasers throughout the episode, and I will talk more about it at length at the end of the show. But of course, this program is, as tradition states, dedicated to baseball discussion with friends of the program and esteemed esoteric researchers. I'm very happy to report that once again we have brought the gang back together, so we've got a tremendous lineup for this year's special. We'll kick things off with our 2011 prediction contest champion, Jason Offutt. Then we'll roll on in to our good friend, iconic cryptozoologist Lauren Coleman, followed by esteemed UFO historian Rich Dolan. Then we'll welcome filmmaker, raconteur, and rogue paranormalist Paul Kimball, followed by the author of Project Beta and host of Radio Mysterioso, Greg Bishop, and we'll close it all out with our good buddy crackpot historian Adam Go Rightly. Along the way, we'll be talking about baseball. We'll be finding out what all these guests have been up to since they last appeared on BOA Audio, and we'll get their predictions for the 2012 BOA Audio Baseball Prediction Contest. I know we're coming at you 2 weeks or so into the baseball season, but I can assure you that all of these interviews were taped prior to the start of the season. I've just been super busy and haven't got around to editing all of the segments together. But nonetheless, all of the discussion is unhindered by what has unfolded over the last 2 weeks. And with all that said, let's get down to business, my friends, and play ball. Ladies and gentlemen, the 2012 BOA Audio Baseball Special.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Ladies and gentlemen, kicking off the 2012 BOA Audio Baseball Special, we have got the champion from the 2011 prediction contest, my good friend Jason Offutt. He really squeaked in there at the last moment. It was such a bottleneck at the end that we had to go to transposed picks. And in the end, Jason Offutt came out on top with, I believe it was, let me get the final number here, but you had 5 out of 11, which is pretty good. We take out the three from the AL, the NL, and the World Series. So really, 5 out of, 8? So you did pretty well. And you are the champion for 2011, so congratulations, sir.
That's what, I knew whenever I picked the Montreal Expos to take it all, that this would be my year.
So you are top of the mountain, joining such esteemed people as Richard Dolan, Lauren Coleman, and myself. So now you've won it as well.
Excellent. Yes, I will take this opportunity on this year's baseball special to completely stink up the joint and definitely give somebody else a chance to win next year. Just because my picks will stink.
Just make sure it's not Kimball. We're trying to keep it out of his hands.
Oh, I'll take care of Kimball.
We can't have the title go fling to Canada.
No, yeah, I know. I remember when Joe Carter hit the home run when the Blue Jays.
That's right.
Won it all. That really kind of bothered me.
Yeah, confused a lot of people. So yes, you won the championship. Unfortunately, your Kansas City Royals not so lucky. Didn't fare too well last year. And I think I mentioned this to you in an email, and this is what I am interested in a sense. And we've talked about this in the past on the baseball special. I feel like maybe we've beaten it into the ground, but
I still think it bears discussion, where it's like, well, how can they not... Even the Reds broke through to the playoffs a few years ago. And the Pirates were you know, in contention at least halfway through the season last year. But it seems like the Royals still can't seem to get out of, you know, out of this funk that they're in.
Are you trying to make me cry to start off a baseball special?
No, I need the insights from a former Royals. I guess you weren't really an employee of the Royals, but of the stadium.
I was for a while. When I was in college, I was a food vendor. So, yes, you can say a former Royals employee.
There you go.
Who threw bags of peanuts. Actually, they wouldn't even let us throw bags of peanuts. They were worried about lawsuits if we plunked somebody in the face.
This is before peanut allergies, too.
Yeah, this was back when peanuts were a man's food.
What happened with peanuts? Now it's like you can't go anywhere without being like bombarded with warnings.
I don't know. I got kids in elementary school, and every single thing that they send home regarding people bringing food in, it's like, you know, no peanuts, or we'll have Homeland Security on your ass.
Yeah, it's like what kind of world are we living in? No wonder China's ready to take over.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. They love peanuts. That's it. That's it. Peanuts.
That's the problem. This is probably some long range germ warfare type thing we got going on.
I don't know. I was looking for my next big project, and I think it's going to be the China peanut conspiracy theory.
So what happened? So no development here with the Royals. You know, I'm looking at them now. They finished fourth place in the Central, and it looks like 20 games. No, 10. I guess 10. Yeah, 10. 10 games under 500. So, I mean, they're inching up there, but they're still sort of still hovering in the fourth place range.
Well, here's the problem for, you know, what, the past couple of decades. When they finally in 85, let's go all the way back to a time where everybody I teach wasn't born yet. anyway, back in 85, okay, finally, they won the World Series. The owner, Ewan Kaufman, one of the class acts in baseball history, in my opinion, was up there in years, and, that's the last time they went to the playoffs. Was when they won the World Series in 85, and he wanted to win again before he died, because he knew that he didn't have too many years. So he started throwing money at free agents, and that just was a complete disaster. Then we had incompetence in the front office after Mr. K passed away, and then we were, you know, purchased by you know, David Glass, Mr. Walmart. So he ran it for a while like Walmart. Using everyday low prices to buy talent.
Oh God!
And it hasn't been. And there was always the promise of, well, we're working on our farm team, and you know, that never really amounted to everything or to anything. And since we've gotten our new general manager a few years ago, Dayton Moore, he studied under John Schuerholz.
Yeah, the name sounds familiar. Yeah.
Yeah, he's been our GM for a while, and he has actually been building the farm system, which is, you know, what the Royals, you know, what made them a powerhouse in the 70s and 80s is we had a great farm system, and now we're getting that back. John Schuerholz, I will say, graduated from the same college I did, so I've got that. And he's a very class act. Here's a John Schuerholz story. When he was the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, I just started in the newspaper industry, and I was a photographer. I shot Royals games, and the reporter and I had a few beers on the way up to the game, and I actually spilled one all the way down in the front of my shirt. And we get to go get our press passes, and they don't have any. It's like, okay, you know, office, you don't have a press pass for today. I'm like, crap, who do I speak to? And they sent me upstairs to talk with John Schuerholz. So here I am, stinking of beer, got a big wet spot on my shirt, and he was gracious enough to give me a press pass for the day.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm forever in his debt.
Yeah, that's a good, yeah, he could have been thrown out.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And what would I have done? Gone back to the paper completely stinking drunk, because we still had a lot of beer out of the car, and with no pictures.
Oh, Offit, you're out of control. How about now, they traded Zach Greinke for a bunch of prospects. Did any of those guys pan out at all?
You know, I knew you were going to ask me that, and I didn't think enough to really do my homework on that. I don't know.
If they didn't stand out enough that you'd know, I think that's the answer.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, the whole Greinke deal, I mean, I think everybody in Kansas City was sad to see Greinke go. He'd been through a lot here, and, you know, finally he won the Cy Young. I can't think of the last. Brett Saberhagen may have been the last Cy Young winner for Kansas City. And that's going back quite some time. So we had an excellent pitcher, but we had absolutely nothing around him.
Yeah.
Our pitching staff was horrible. So getting anything for him, he didn't want to be here anymore. I was fine with the trade.
But
again, I'm showing my ignorance by not knowing who he was traded for.
Yeah, but if anyone had like a breakout year, you'd know it. So it's like, I think that's part of the issue here. How about that guy we keep talking about every year on the special that we keep saying it's got to be his year, his breakout year, that had got the advice there from the legendary George Brett?
Right, Alex Gordon, last year was his year.
He did all right?
Finally, yeah, he had a really good year last year, and he's had a strong spring training. I mean, yeah, that was the guy. He was supposed to be the next George Brett, but Kevin Seitzer was supposed to be the next George Brett. Jeff Conine was supposed to be the next George Brett. And they were fine players, but they were not, you know, Hall of Fame material. I don't think Gordon's going to ever be Hall of Fame material. But I mean, he had a great year.
Now you're in Kansas City, which is of course Missouri. What are your thoughts on Pujols leaving? When it first happened, you expressed some Schadenfreude to me in email. So maybe expand on that.
Yeah, no, since he was, I felt some, you know, I like Pujols because, I mean, he's what a great player.
Yeah.
He went to high school at Fort Osage High School in Independence, Missouri, and he went to college for 1 year, I think, in at a Kansas City school, community college. But Pujols, I mean, since I, you know, he was from, you know, generally the Kansas City area. Well, he's not from here, but, you know, he spent some time here. I liked him for that reason. And he, you know, he's a Cardinal, which Kansas City and St. Louis get along, you know, about the same way as you know, Boston and New York, except for we're not, you know, we don't play each other as much.
Yeah.
The two towns just don't like each other. So the fact that he left, I would have rather have seen him go to the Cubs so he could punish St. Louis.
Yeah.
But, you know, just leaving, I guess, was good enough.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it must be weird because it's like up until the Red Sox started winning like the last 10 years or whatever, it was like they were always kind of shit on by the Yankees because they won all the time. I can see how it would be similar in that respect.
Right, yeah. No, I mean, because the Royals, all we have to rub in St. Louis's face is 1985.
I don't know what it is with St. Louis. I was talking about this with, I think, Kimball. It's like they somehow find a way to, like, stumble into world championships.
Right. I mean, yeah. It's, I think the last couple of World Series that they won, it's like nobody expected St. Louis.
Nah, not at all.
And then all of a sudden, boom, here they are.
Yeah, it's insane. So it's frustrating.
Yeah, it's like,
I find them bland.
It's really annoying here in Missouri because people who are diehard Royals fans and people who really don't give a crap about baseball, all of a sudden when St. Louis wins the World Series, everybody's wearing Cardinals gear. It's like, you know, people, it's like the Kansas Jayhawks, okay? Missourians hate the Jayhawks. It goes all the way back to the Civil War. We have this blood hatred for the state of Kansas, and here they are in the national championship game, and I see people walk around campus with KU jerseys on, and I don't want to be arrested, so I haven't punched anybody yet, but tomorrow might be a different story.
They're not looking too good in that game tonight, so we shall see.
Yeah, yeah.
So you may get your just desserts or whatever, you know, you may get the last laugh here on this one.
Well, yeah, except for the fact that my team, the Missouri Tigers, the arch rival of the Kansas Jayhawks, lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
I know, I had them in the Final Four.
Hey, me too.
They crushed me. So you worked at the stadium for a while, and we've heard your no hitter story, and we heard about your run in with the guy from Happy Days. But you know, regale us with, you know, maybe the strangest story or or the weirdest, or you know, a story that stands out from your days working at the stadium. It was Kauffman Stadium, right?
Right, yeah, Kauffman Stadium was Royal Stadium back at the time before Mr. K died. Working at the stadium, I don't know, there was, for some odd reason, girls are really, really turned on by peanut vendors.
Really?
Yeah. Or maybe it was just me. No, let's just say it was just me.
Interesting.
Yeah, so no, you get a lot of phone numbers as a food vendor, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
No, weirdest story. No, I just, one of the things that, that nothing's going to beat Ralph Mouth, but one of the things that I really, enjoyed doing was eating jalapenos on the job whenever I served nachos. Because my ability to withstand, searing pain from spicy foods is pretty high. And people would ask if the jalapenos were hot, and I'd just grab a handful and shove them in my mouth, and I'd be fine. And so they'd order them, and next time I'd be down that aisle, they'd be looking at me with a red face and say, "You son of a bitch." Of course, then their buddies would tip me well.
That's how you got all those numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
Chicks were impressed.
Tolerance to jalapenos. No, I think the, it wasn't when I was a vendor that I actually ran into somebody. I ran into Sam Donaldson at a Royals game.
The newscaster?
The newscaster. And this was back, before, David Glass bought the team, and it was a group. There was some sort of a group ownership holding it till they could find an owner, and I was shooting photographs that day, and I was in the photo bay, and Sam Donaldson was there with a TV camera, and all these photographers are like whispering, like, "Oh, what's Sam Donaldson doing here? What's he doing here?" And then I even asked somebody, and they're like, "Hell, I don't know." And I turned around and said, "Hey, Sam, what are you doing here?" And he said something about, you know, "Oh, I was working on a business story about the Royals and how unique this situation is." And he was all smiles and toupee. And next day I watched the news, and it was a total slam piece.
Oh, man. What a
So Sam Donaldson's a lying bastard.
Yeah, what a
jerk. You heard it here first, and I'm invoking fair comment and criticism. That's just my opinion. Sam Donaldson cannot sue me and win now.
I'd be thrilled if he was listening. He's going to be like, what is this?
Why did I bring up Sam Donaldson if I didn't know he was listening? He's a big BOA baseball fan.
He's going to show up next year to challenge you.
Yeah.
Well, are there like, I always imagine these things, a lot of rats there in the stadium.
Rats?
Yeah.
No, never saw a rat.
Oh, weird. I figured they would be because all the food, you know, like Charlotte's Web when the rat sings.
Yeah, no, there probably probably are plenty of rats. I just never saw any. The worst thing is people, whenever you're at the ballpark, only buy prepackaged food.
I heard about that. I there was like a ESPN special report on like the food issues of these places and how they're kind of like, you know.
Well, just a few personal examples, and since I was like 18 years old and the statute of limitations is totally gone by now, I was, you know, working a doubleheader, mm-hmm. and it was in the 90s, and I was vending nachos. Why I didn't pick Coke, I have no freaking idea. But I was walking around with this heavy metal basket with steaming cheese. Anyway, I set the tray down and opened up the cheese, and all the steam hits me, and all the sweat rolls off my face into the cheese. And
oh.
What the hell am I going to do? Go back and get more cheese? No, I just stirred the sweat in.
You got to at that point.
You have to. And there were a couple of times this happened when I was vending Coke. I, you know, noticed that there was something floating in the Coke, so I stopped and I put my Coke down where nobody could see me on the concourse behind a pole. And I opened up the lid and there was a fly floating in the top of the Coke, so I pushed it out and put the lid back on.
Oh God. Horror stories, folks. These are.
And the sad thing is I wouldn't do that sort of thing, but 18-year-old me sure as heck would.
Yeah, it's freaky, but not surprising. I guess is the best way to put it. You know, you try not to think about it. That's why you have to consume a lot of alcohol, because you're like, you know, who knows what's in these nachos.
That's why I said prepackaged stuff. Get some beer and some peanuts and you're good.
There you go. Exactly. All right. Are you ready to defend your title here with some predictions?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll start in the American League East. Who you got?
Usually I'm going to pick the Yankees just because they're the Yankees, and the Yankees, you know, have a habit of winning things. But I hate the freaking Yankees. And I'm sorry, I can't go to Boston. I got to pick the Devil Rays. Well, okay. They're not the Devil Rays anymore, are they? The Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, they're just the Rays. All right, that's a safe choice and good choice as well. So I have no qualms with that. I haven't made my picks yet, so I'm still up in the air on a lot of these.
Well, this is it. You're taking notes.
They've been pretty diverse so far, so we're in good shape. All right, then in the Central.
I just went off on this tear about how much I don't like the Cardinals, so I'm gonna go with the Reds.
Oh, no, we're talking American League Central.
Oh, American League. That's right, I don't know where we're going. The Central, gotta go with Detroit.
Yeah, they really, it's a toss-up, though. You never know with this. They're gonna have a rough infield with those two brutes playing first and third, but I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, they've got enough talent. I think, I hate to say this. The Royals, I think, are probably gonna finish in the middle of the pack, which is an improvement over the past 15 years.
Right. They can get as high as third, I think.
Yeah, so I think if they're floating anywhere near 500, I mean, it's kind of sad, but the entire town here in Kansas City is going to be giddy.
All right, and then the American League West.
The Angels.
All right. And then, as you know, they've added an extra wild card, and per the rules of the baseball prediction contest, after much consultation and consideration, for the wild card, obviously you have to pick two. Because now there's two wild cards, but they're not weighted. So, you know, you can flip-flop them as they come along. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just don't have to be like, well, this guy's they're going to get the first wild card, they're going to get the second. It doesn't matter, so.
All right, so two wild cards. Yankees, Texas Rangers.
All right. Sounds good. Very definitive on your part. I like this. This is the attitude of a champion, my friends.
That's right. It's Kutzpah.
That's right. All right, National League East.
Philadelphia.
All right.
It's just like picking the Yankees.
You got to almost. Then in the Central.
Well, and this is where I was going earlier. I really, really want to pick the Cardinals, but just pain in the pit of my stomach, I'm going to go with the Reds.
All right, they're due for a resurgence after their big year a few years ago. And that's a wide-open division, too, because they lost a lot of key people in there. Pujols, Prince Fielder, and Tony La Russa, so.
Right.
And the National League West.
Arizona.
All right. Nice. And then who do you have for the two wild cards?
The Marlins and the Giants.
All right, nice. These are solid picks. I'm very impressed. All right, and then coming out of the American League, who's going to get the American League pennant, you think?
Well, I'm just going back with the solid picks. Man, I won last year. It's not like I'm going to come out and pick Baltimore and, you know, and the Astros. Oh, that would be fun. I'm sorry, what was the question?
Who do you have coming out of the American League? Who's going to take the American League pennant?
Los Angeles, the Angels.
All right. And then on the National League side?
I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Phillies.
All right. That'll be a hell of a showdown if that happens.
That would be a lot of fun.
And so who do you have coming out of it all? Who do you have winning the whole thing?
I'm an American League guy. I got to go with the Angels.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah, I think this is going to be quite the year for us. I don't think anyone's picked universally the same across the board. Last year we had a lot of similar picks, so it's going to be a good year. All right, so those are your picks. We'll put them in the vault and see if you can become a two-time defending champion. No one's ever done it back-to-back, so could be
historic. Yeah, that's because I hadn't done it once.
Oh.
Yeah. Throw it down right here on BOA.
Wow, the boldness, folks. All right, so that's the baseball talk. I guess, actually, yeah, they haven't heard, they don't know this yet, but you'll be appearing on BOA Audio soon with a new conversation, 2.5 hours of discussion on some of the weirdest stories that you've covered at your blog. So that's coming up in a few weeks on BOA Audio. But what else is going on for you? Any books coming out? Any stuff you want to plug?
I don't have anything paranormal coming out right now, other than my blog. And by the way, I absolutely loved the topic you picked, the best stories from the shadows. I hadn't sat down at an interview, I don't think, and talked about that many diverse things in one sitting.
Yeah, it's quite the conversation. I can't wait for people to hear it because we covered so much weird stuff in there that I think people are going to really love it. So that's something for them to look forward to in the next few weeks.
Yeah, so that's what I've got. Right now I'm working on some humor projects, and I had started a novel last November, and I'm getting close to 60,000 words. I got a goal of around 90, so within the next couple of months I should be done with that, and I'll put it in a drawer for a while and let it ferment.
There you go.
Yeah.
And come back to it and see how it looks.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, as always, it's been great talking to you, Jason. Thanks for coming back on the baseball special. Congrats on your 2011 win. Best of luck in 2012, of course. And even though I already talked to you, I'll be talking to you in a few weeks for a full-length BOA Audio paranormal session. So can't wait for that one.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. I can't wait. Hope the audience likes it. And you know that my championship, Tim. You really ought to start thinking about certificates.
I'll give it some thought.
Would mount that on the wall. Just today, the university where I work, they had a mandatory sexual harassment class that everybody had to take,
and you had to take
a test. And if you pass the test, you got a certificate with your name on it that says sexual harassment. And I'm like, yes. That's got to go on the wall.
Well, I think this will be our fifth year, so maybe once we crown the fifth champion, then I'll turn around and then issue certificates to all the previous champions as well. We'll grandfather it in. We'll make sure everybody gets them for all previous champions as well. So,
all right,
it's in the mail.
if Kimball wins, you got to put an asterisk next to his name,
or I'll just put a Canadian flag on there. All right, buddy.
Next time you talk to him, the next time you have him on the show, ask him about poutine.
What's poutine?
It is a Canadian delicacy.
Oh, poutine.
Well, I don't know. A guy from Ontario told me, a friend of mine told me it was poutine.
I've always heard it pronounced poutine. It's like a weird sauce you put on, like, French fries, right?
It's beef gravy that you pour over French fries and cheese curds.
It's delicious.
Oh, it's absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I had a stomachache for 3 days.
Because you ate too much?
Well, I went to Ontario last summer and I bought some because I was told by my Canadian buddy that you have to try it, and no, I ate half a serving and
oh no,
it was just miserable.
Oh no,
but it tasted great.
It is quite good. Oh boy! And on that note, it's been great talking to you, buddy, and I'll be in touch. No worries about that, and thanks again for coming back on the show.
Awesome, Tim. Always a pleasure.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Continuing onward here with the 2012 BOA Audio Baseball Special, we're welcoming back our longtime friend of the program. He is, of course, an icon in the world of cryptozoology, the man behind the International Cryptozoology Museum in Portland, Maine, and a diehard Boston Red Sox fan and a personal good friend of mine, Lauren Coleman. Welcome back to BOA Audio for the baseball special.
It's good to be back, and it's always good to talk about baseball because it gives us hope it's actually spring.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, just to bring people up to speed, we talked last November, you guys were moving to the new location for the International Cryptozoology Museum. So I guess, tell us how that move went and give us a little update on what you've been up to since then.
Well, the move went fine. We're now a nonprofit. We moved from a space that was about 500 square feet to a space that's six times as large and has two enormous rooms that we've curated, and then has great light and all of that. And we're also opening on Mondays now. We used to be closed on Mondays, so we're only closed one day a week on Tuesday. So that's actually helped us get in a lot of people, because I don't know how it is in your town, but in Portland, there's a lot of museums and other galleries and different things that are closed on Monday. So we're actually getting a lot more people than we thought we would. So it's been quite good. And then we're getting more and more, you know, art donations and taxidermy donations, because we have more space to fill. So that's been great.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Sounds like it's been an overall resounding success. So
yeah. And we're actually just on April 28th, we're actually going to do a slideshow on the Dover Demon from Dover, Massachusetts. It's the 35th anniversary of the Dover Demon case. So we're having a night of it at the museum for a little benefit.
Awesome. That's Saturday, April 28th. I may try and make it up there for that. That sounds cool.
Yeah. It's a Atlas Obscura Day around the world, and we're one of the 80 sites that have been picked to have a special event.
Very nice, very nice. So the baseball season, it has begun. We're talking the day after opening day, although who knows with the way baseball is. They had the opening day in Japan like a week ago, so I don't even keep track of these things anymore. But at the risk of belaboring what happened last year, or even yesterday's opening day, let's get sort of an overall thoughts here on the Red Sox season as it begins, because Kimball's abandoned us. He's given up already on the Red Sox, so it's just you and me left, I think.
Oh, really? Well, I do think that if we look at the Red Sox and project them into the end of the season, I think that beginning is going to be very rocky. Of course, the bullpen with Bailey going down with the injury, and Beckett maybe having a thumb problem. I'm really worried about the pitching, as we have to always worry. So that's a real problem, and I think people are going to be ready to jump off bridges in the Boston area, because it's going to look pretty bad. But there is a new motivator. There's Bobby Valentine. He's got a lot of energy. He jumps up and down. He dances around. He has a lot of things going for him that I think the team needs after such a horrible finish. And I think really one of the things that people are somewhat overlooking is that Bobby Valentine spent 6 years in Japan, learned the language, has a real understanding for the Japanese culture and how to do it, and how to motivate in a very Buddhist sort of way. And I've always felt that one of the things that I really love about baseball is there really is a zen of baseball. There's a certain flow of the game. There's a certain, you know, a lot of people talk about how it's the one game that doesn't have a time limit or a clock. And there's something about it that I think Bobby Valentine could really mix well with that. And the secret weapon, I think, at the end of the season for the Red Sox will be Daisuke coming back. And Daisuke working with a manager that really understands him, and Bobby Valentine. So I figured Daisuke for at least 10 games, winning 10 games at the end, which will sort of uplift the team at a time when a lot of people often give up on them. And I'm going to make a bold prediction. I think Adrian Gonzalez is going to be the MVP for the year.
Wow.
In the American League. And I see the Red Sox not exactly falling completely down, but everybody's saying, are they going to be the fourth, you know, the fourth team down in the American League East? But I think they will be the new wild card team at the end of the season.
Yeah, I have a feeling they'll be,
you know, that they'll get it together enough not to be the regular wild card, but they'll be the new one. And so in some ways they'll redeem themselves, because last year, if this new wild card would have been into play, they would actually been that new wild card, because they were only one game out from the regular wild card. So, and I don't see the Rays coming in. I don't see Toronto. I think Toronto's got a really well managed team with John Farrell, but I don't really see them picking it up. I think the fielding, believe it or not, will be the downfall of the Rays. I just don't see the fundamentals there with the people that they've got going.
Interesting.
If you want my picks now for the American League, or
we'll get to them in just a moment. Don't worry.
Okay, but so the Red Sox, I think, an exciting team. They're going to, of course, being being from New England here, I'm definitely going to be for them, but I don't really see them going all the way. But I do see them at least having some achievement. But I think they'll do better than the Cubs. So Theo can go to Chicago, and we'll still do fine.
I just can't wait to see what kind of crazy big signing he tries to make over there that'll blow up in his face. Oh, goodness. Now, yeah. Speaking of big signings, you know, you're like me. You follow the ebb and flow of the off season as well. What do you think of these big moves? You know, Pujols, he leaves St. Louis, he goes to L.A., and Prince Fielder now in Detroit. I mean, these were kind of seismic shifts as far as big-time players moving around.
Yeah, I think that if we want to stay in the American League and look at some of these, Prince Fielder at the Tigers is really going to help them. I think he's going to be sort of a linchpin in them getting it going.
Yeah.
I think they'll win the Central. I think that they'll do really fine. Pujols with C.J. Wilson at the Angels will push them up better than they had. But the secret there is also this slugger named Mark Trumbull at the Angels. I think him and Weaver and Pujols and CJ. And Pujols, of course, putting the king into any lineup then makes the guys around you better because people pitch to him differently. But I think the rookie of the year actually will be someone that was a very, very big signing, which is this Yu Darvish, the pitcher for the Rangers.
Yeah.
And so I think that he will actually help the Rangers stay in contention like they always have been. But even more so, he's just going to it's sort of what happens whenever you have the first year of a Japanese pitcher. People really don't know what to make of him, and there's lots of strikeouts. Happened with Daisuke, happened with Nomo, you know, different people like that. So I think that he certainly is going to be very successful.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. It's a strange sort of American League this year. There's about six teams, it seems, that are sort of in the mix for only five spots. So it's still the same old story, but the other teams around the Red Sox got a lot better. You know, the Angels are right back in it, and Detroit really solidified themselves. So
the Yankees added the Pena guy from, I think he's from Seattle.
Yeah, but that's turning out to be kind of a disaster so far. I'm sure he'll turn it around, but
Yeah, they kind of should have seen that because he does get tired late in the season. But see, the hidden factor for the Yankees, I think because they have so much money and they're not afraid to pay the penalties, that they always find a way to, you know, fall down and then get up.
Right.
But the Yankees are getting old, so they've got to do something about that. But of course they're not afraid to get rid of catchers and bring new ones in and stuff like that. So they definitely are kind of a new era of Yankees, which they're trying to grow out of that. But, you know, there's going to be surprises in the American League, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think so. A lot of people are bullish on Toronto, but, you know, we'll see how it goes for them. It'll be interesting. What did you think of, as I said, you know, you follow the ebb and flow and all this stuff. What do you think of the new stadium down there in Miami? Looks kind of nice, although I don't know about that eyesore in the outfield.
Yeah, well, I think that knowing Miami, it looks like it's more a psychological projection of the owner. I mean, I thought the whole opening day ceremony with Muhammad Ali was, you know, I respect him and I think he's a great man and all of that and politically even, but how they kind of carted him out there and his Parkinson's and everything, there's almost like a spectacle underpinning to the Marlins that they've got to get over that and they've got to get down to solid playing. And so there's all of this business about the dancers and the ceremony and the big thing out in the middle. I mean, I really do like what the White Sox have always done with the, every time there's a home run, there was fireworks going off. That's a really old tradition, but to see that thing, I mean, I haven't seen it go off yet because the Marlins haven't hit a home run as far as I know.
But
I actually, I wanted to speak up about the Oreos. I think that one of the exciting things for people from Portland, Maine is that their new utility infielder, Ryan Flaherty, is exactly the same generation of my oldest son, who works for the Red Sox at Nesson. Malcolm is my son. And Ryan Flaherty and he were in the same, you know, Little League, American League, high school baseballs, two different high schools. And then Malcolm played baseball at Brandeis, and Ryan played at Vanderbilt, a Division I school, and has had quite a lot of success. And then it was a Rule 5 draft from the Cubs to the Orioles. So it's very exciting for a lot of us on the East Coast that are from Maine. You know, we're very much for the Red Sox, and there's, of course, even some Yankees fans. Not too many Mets fans. But then also people will be watching the Orioles because it is interesting and nice to see somebody that you know locally and has been kind of famous locally. His father was is actually the local university baseball coach and played in the World Series in the, I think it was in the 80s for the University of Maine. So that kind of homeboy makes good. And Charlie Furbish also, who I think got put down by the, you know, to minor leagues because of the, it's too crowded in Seattle or something, but.
Nice.
But it is interesting to see all of these, you know, people that you actually coached or played with or, you know, helped, you know, fundraise for. They're now in the major leagues, and that's just kind of, it's just a very strange feeling.
Yeah, yeah, it must be kind of odd. Yeah, it's pretty cool, though. It's always, you know, adds an extra dimension to the game when you know someone out there.
Right, and for my son in the media now, he says it's a, you know, be very interesting to, you know, get interviews with some of these people when they come to town, and they used to play with them in high school, and now they're in the majors.
Yeah, yeah, that's strange, like crossing of the paths.
Right.
What do you think of the sale of the Dodgers? Of the outrageous over $2 billion, unbelievable price.
Oh yeah, unbelievable, and you know, very Magic Johnson-ish. It seemed like he always got to be the front guy, but there was lots of people involved in that, and it just seemed like you know, the whole thing about the divorce and you know, which way it was going and different things like that. And the team's not really that good. I mean, you know, Matt Kemp had got MVP and all of that, but the team itself, I just don't see going anywhere this year. And so I hope that all of those people that put all that money into the team also eventually do something with their money to make the team a little bit better.
Right, right. Remind me a little bit of the Cubs, how they got sold and they haven't really turned it around yet, and you're kind of still waiting to see what the hell they're going to do to rebuild or what. So.
Right, right. I think one of the teams out on the West Coast got a little bit better, though, with the San Francisco Giants. Melky Cabrera coming to their team, you know, was a solid acquisition in the off season. And I think that's a good move on their part that will keep them really up there as far as a team that I've seen sort of fading. And of course, we got, you know, the Red Sox got one of their players, so that's always helpful to the Red Sox. But the Giants really are going to be in there, and I think it's going to look like a lot of familiar teams coming out of the National League, you know, Philadelphia and the Brewers and St. Louis and all of those. But the surprise one that I've really decided in the last few days, I've gone back and forth on who's going to be the best team coming out of, as far as the best team, I mean, the one that's going to go through the playoffs and come out in the World Series. I think the surprise team is going to be Arizona. I think that, you know, Ian Kennedy had a breakout year last year, winning 21 and 4, but both, you know, all of those kinds of players on that team are almost like, because we're interested in the American League out here and we talk about the Red Sox, we kind of ignore what's happening in the National League in the West.
Yeah.
And it's almost as if they're a, almost like a factory team, very working class, very, you know, it seems like there's no celebrities on that team, but I think the driving force behind the Arizona Diamondbacks is really their manager, Kurt Gibson.
Yeah.
And I think that there's something in him. There's sort of a very much a fire in the belly that he's going to bring them back to a place of being in the World Series.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's weird this off season too. to get back to the Red Sox, like, this may be one of the first times in a while that I've really felt particularly old, because, you know, Wakefield leaves, Veritek's gone, the right. general manager, the manager's gone. It's like, even Heidi Watney left us.
Yes. Well, the other thing that I've noticed, because I follow their minor league farm teams too,
yeah.
is that Rich Gedman is working his way up as a manager through the minor leagues. Rich Gedman is, I think, the manager of a single-A team now. And I believe his son is in the system too. So it's kind of very bizarre to hear Gedman's name,
yeah.
Rich Gedman. And so, I mean, I already know I'm old, but I certainly know regarding baseball, if Wakefield leaves, of course there is Jamie Moyers coming back at 49.
That's true. Yeah.
So maybe some of these people will come back. You know, who knows? But it is funny how the Red Sox team was, you almost knew they had to leave, you know, the Veritek and Wake, you know, Wake and Tech really needed to leave, but there was too much sentimentalness. And last year had to happen to really break through to a new era for the Red Sox.
Right, right. It seemed that way, yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, even Mark McGwire is back with the St. Louis Cardinals. I mean, things are strange, you know, in the baseball world.
One final sort of baseball news. How do you think this is going to shake out with the Hall of Fame vote next winter? This is the big ballot that everyone's sort of been waiting for. Clemens is on it. Bonds is on it. You think it's just going to be a complete repudiation of these guys?
I think that for the first round, the whole steroid era is going to get a big no. I think that there's a lot of old riders that have votes, and they've already sort of painted themselves in a corner a few years ago when they said, I'm not going to vote for Clemens. I'm not going to vote for Bonds. And I think it's going to have to go through some healing and some distance in time. But for this first round, I don't think you're going to see a lot of those guys that were connected to the steroid era being voted in. I mean, I could be wrong, but I just don't see a Clemens or you know, Barry Bonds going into the Hall of Fame right off the bat.
Yeah.
It would just be a repudiation of too many people who, you know, have investigated that and done all of that. I don't think people like the commissioner too much, and I don't think it's really about, you know, management versus labor, but it's almost as if there's a bruise on baseball that needs to heal, and then once it heals, then some of those people will go in and they'll start looking at just what they did. I mean, Bonds had a great career long before the steroid era. And if we look at Barry Bonds on his total career, I think you could probably say, just like Babe Ruth was an alcoholic and a philanderer. I mean, you know, there's lots of different, if we look back, there was lots of different enhancements, you know, amphetamines or, you know, the pitchers that pitched when they were on cocaine or on, you know, on LSD and
yeah.
different things like that. So every era has had different things. It's just that for right now, we're still in say no to drugs by saying no to steroids kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting because eventually it has to sort of settle itself, I guess, you know, sort of right itself.
I think if you look at what's happened with Ryan Braun and how his drug test was overturned, and that was the first one, it almost as if that was kind of a signal. It's going to be treated a little bit differently. There's going to be more of a – that would have been a very big embarrassment to baseball to have the MVP, you know, kicked out for 50 games because of a drug test that may or may not have been – well, according to him, it was definitely wrong. So, but, you know, I know that within all of these different drugs that they do take or the different attempts to heal with – some things that weren't even illegal, and then they were declared illegal. It almost feels like you can't really blame some of these people for trying to be Olympic athletes and try everything they could to be, you know, come down from Mount Olympus when, in fact, then you make up rules that they're illegal. So
right.
I think it's been very confusing especially even for writers, some of the baseball writers that are not medical doctors. And so they're very much going on a popular cultural reaction to steroids, and that's going to get in the way of any kind of real assessment on an individualized basis of these players.
Exactly. All right, are you ready for predictions? You've been fired up about these. He's been sending me emails, folks, with his predictions.
Try to figure out, yeah.
It's been a struggle for me as well. All right, we'll start in our turf here, the American League East.
Okay, American League East, I think the Yankees are going to be number one. They're going to win the division. And here again, I think they're going to falter in the middle, and their money is going to come into play, and they're really going to pull this out.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about them this year. They look kind of decrepit, but they always find a way. So it's frustrating like that. In the Central,
Tigers. I think you got a solid team this year. Verlander and Prince Fielder. It's just two of the many people in that team that you can really talk about. So I think it's the Tigers for the Central.
Do you foresee a turnaround for Minnesota? They're going to get back in this, you think? Because they were awful last year.
Yeah, I think they're going to be awful again. I think that, they've got real good basic dynamics and practice and all of that, but it's not going to help them this year.
Yeah. All right, in the West?
In the West, I think it's the Rangers. This will be, they've had back-to-back World Series appearances, but it's not going to get them to the World Series, but it's going to get them the win in the division. So I think they're going to win the West.
Okay. And then in the two wild cards, and I'll point out for the predictions contest, they're not weighted, so it's they can flip flop for the predictions contest. Yeah.
Well, I think the regular wild card is going to be the Angels. I think the Angels are going to do very well with their kind of reinvigorated team, so they're going to come through. And then in the new wild card, the one that will be that'll be the Red Sox. I think the Red Sox will barely pull it out. They won't be able to beat out, as far as the record wise, the Angels, but they're going to be able. The problem with that then is a creation. If you know about the new wild card, they will be the ones that will have to fly out to the West Coast,
right,
play one game, and then if they have to come back into the, they'll have to fly to the other side of the country. So it's problematic to be the new wild card because you'll be exhausted after playing that one game.
Right. I have a feeling. Oh, go ahead.
They squeezed it in this year, so they didn't really give themselves time for the schedule. I think in the future they'll put an extra day around it, but this year it's going to be coast to coast travel and overnight.
I can see on one side or the other. One of those wild card teams, though, making a short run to the championship round. Seems like that's the way baseball is.
Do you want me to tell the ACL?
Yep. We'll get to that. We'll do the National League next, then we'll build it up.
National.
And the National League East, good.
National League East is Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia is a solid team, good pitching, good hitting. They're going to come through again.
Yeah, I'm thinking rebound year for them because they had a lot of expectations. So I feel like they're kind of going to get it together this year.
Right.
In the Central?
Central, Milwaukee. Milwaukee, despite their loss, they've got Amaris Ramirez and Braun and Corey Hart and Ricky Weeks. All of those guys will be a solid team. And I think the Central is very weak in the National League, and the Cubs, and none of those teams are going to really be able to knock off the Brewers.
Yeah, that's a pretty decrepit league going on right now. And in the National League West?
Arizona. I think Arizona is going to come out of that in really good shape.
Okay.
They're going to – I see them as the team that's going to have the best last third of the season.
Okay, interesting. Nice.
Just a real surprise team.
This has been a great conversation. You're so specific on this stuff. You give me all kinds of things to look for now after this conversation. Okay, so the two wild cards then.
The wild card, the regular wild card, I think, St. Louis. St. Louis is real solid. David Freese and Votto, they're great players that are going to – and Freese, he had such a good World Series. I think he's really pretty high on himself. And that confidence is really important to players. And, I watched him in the one game that I watched him, from the National League, the Marlins versus St. Louis, and David Freese was doing it all over again. So I think he's the regular wild card. The St. Louis is a regular wild card.
Okay, and the new wild card?
The new wild card, San Francisco. San Francisco will just barely do it. I mean, this for me was a toss-up between the Braves and San Francisco. I can really understand why some people might pick the Braves, but I'm just going to go with San Francisco because I just a gut feeling.
Okay. Yeah, it was tough this year. I think we'll be devoid of all the ties, though, because everybody seemed to go in different directions in the predictions. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. Okay, so then who do you have taking the American League pennant?
Well, I've got the Yankees versus the Boston Red Sox in that, and I think the Yankees will come out. I think there's just too many quicksand moments in the Red Sox dugout, you know, in bullpen, I mean, mm-hmm. To really get them. They'll get them to the American League Championship Series, but Yankees, I think. The Yankees will go on to the World Series.
And they will be facing?
The Philadelphia versus Arizona in the National League Championship Series. They'll have to do that at the end, and then it'll be Arizona. So I think the World Series will be the Yankees versus Arizona in a 2001 revisitation of that World Series. And coming out of it will be Arizona. I think they'll surprise everyone. Like I said, I think they're really going to have an upswing at the end of the season. And so I see Arizona winning the World Series. And happily, everybody will run around the bases imitating Kirk Gibson doing his home run with his fist going backwards. So, yeah, I think Arizona will be that. It'll be a series in which, with the Yankees and Arizona in it, nobody will want to watch New England. you know, we'll watch baseball just because it's baseball.
Absolutely, yeah. All right, well, those are the predictions. We will put them in the vault and take a look at them at the end of the year. And, you know, speaking of the rest of the year, what's up for you? We talked about the April 28th event at the ICM. Anything else going on you want to mention, new books or new events or anything?
Well, I'm always trying to write books, but that's always I'm having so much fun doing other things that sometimes the books are – and then I'm writing the Crypto Mundo blog, you know, daily.
Yep.
But actually, my next fall – and it's going to be unfortunate because it's going to be during the super playoff times. But for a week, I'm going to – I've been invited to Paris, France, to give a cryptozoological talk at a Fortean conference, and then – there's a UFO special French luncheon. I've been invited to talk about the role of cryptozoologists versus ufologists in chupacabras and investigations and other, you know, sort of borderline cryptozoological investigations. It'll be a fun talk because, of course, the ufologist there will just trust that a cryptozoologist is speaking to them, but of course, my first book with Jerome Clark was on looking at a Jungian point of view of ufology, so I can always throw that at him.
Nice.
But in between, you know, I'll be speaking in Michigan and traveling around and going to different places. I oftentimes get speaking engagements, and then I try to be at any one place a little bit longer so I can make them into mini expeditions and different things like that, trying to get them out in the field. And like I did the 14-day road trip last year, 3,000 miles, I covered all of the Midwest and the East, investigating old cases from the 70s to sort of revisit things and see how things are going.
Awesome. Yeah. Sounds good. I'm looking forward to your dispatches from Paris. They sound like it's going to be awesome. And also July 13th, right? The ICM and the Sea Dogs, right?
Right. The International Cryptozoology Museum is the sponsor this year for Halloween at Hadlock. The Portland Sea Dogs are the AA Red Sox team in Portland, Maine, and so we'll be sponsoring that night. And it's quite exciting, and what we're going to try to do and try to promote is people coming in costumes that are Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, and getting away from the vampires for 1 year.
There you go.
So
good.
We'll see how that goes. And we might have you know, special giveaways and different things like that too.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, that's all the stuff to look forward to, folks. And I'm looking forward to it quite a bit. And I'm sure I'll be seeing you at some point this year, if not twice, I hope so.
Oh, good, Tim. I want to see you up here in Portland, Maine, and I'll show you the museum and take you out to dinner.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see the new digs. So thanks once again for coming back to the baseball special, and we'll be in touch.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Continuing onward here with the 2012 BOA Audio Baseball Special, we're welcoming back our good friend who unfortunately missed last year's edition, but he's back this year and he wants to reclaim the prediction championship. He wants to reclaim the title. I'm talking about esteemed UFO researcher and historian Richard Dolan. Of course, he's the author of UFOs in the National Security State, Volume 1 and 2, as well as co-author of AD After Disclosure with Bryce Zabel. Rich, welcome back to the show. It's been too long.
Hi, Tim. Yeah, I'm sorry that I missed last year, but actually, in retrospect, it's a good thing because I think my predictions would have really stunk up the joint.
All right. Nice. Okay.
I was really, really hot on the Twins once again. And as I'm sure you and baseball fans listening know, 2011 was not a year to bet on the Twins.
Yeah, not a good year if you're a Twins fan at all.
Sad to say.
Well, before we get into the baseball talk, you know, what have you been up to, you know, since the last time we chatted? I think it's been a couple of years now at this point since you've been on the program. It's over,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But what have you been up to?
Well, I keep myself busy. I'm working on actually two or three books, I guess, at once. The main book project I'm working on, though, is one I'm very excited about, and it will be done mid-year. It's mostly done now. I'm calling it UFOs for the 21st Century Mind. And honestly, it's my attempt at reconfiguring ufology and the whole concept of UFOs within a modern context. That is an overall first look, but a first look in depth at the entire topic and all of its weirdness. I feel that the subject's long overdue for such a treatment.
Nice.
So it's it's got a lot of history, certainly a lot of politics, a lot of science, trying to understand. Really, I think every single aspect of this. I'm not certainly pretending that I've got the riddle solved here, but I think there's a benefit in laying out methodically and clearly all of the aspects of this phenomenon in a way that people can really grasp, and that will allow us to jump off into research.
Sounds excellent.
Probably in the future, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it. Well, when that comes out in the summertime, I'll definitely have you back on to talk about that, because that sounds fascinating.
Would love to. Mm-hmm.
And what about the question I'm sure you get all the time? What about Volume 3 of UFOs in the National Security State? What's the status on that?
That's one of the other books I'm working on. I actually wrote a good chunk of Volume 3. You know, Volume 3 seems to be the book that just gets batted around and pushed aside when I get a new project coming along. And the reason is, to be honest, Volume 3 is going to be at least as large as the previous volume. It's at least a 600-page book. It's a tremendous amount of research. Yes, granted, the research is it's essentially done, other than the last couple of years, but that's not really going to be too hard to get up to speed. The real issue is simply synthesizing and writing it. It's a mammoth undertaking. Anyone who's followed my work knows that Volume 1 took me about 5 years solid. Volume 2 took me really 5 years of solid work. I'm trying to get this third volume done as soon as I can. But when I've seen quicker projects come up, like AD with Bryce, which we did in less than 1 year time, and this other book, UFOs for the 21st Century Mind, which will incorporate a number of things that will go into Volume 3, actually.
Nice, nice.
So it's not all going to be a lost cause there. I think Volume 3 is on the way, and it will certainly get done. Can't guarantee that it will be done at the end of this year. I would have liked for it to be done by the end of the world, December 29, 2012, but alas. And then the other couple of things I'm doing, well, one thing that's just exciting for me is, as of last week, I started a hosting my own 3-hour-a-week radio, internet radio show, which I call Truth Out Radio. And it's Saturday night, prime time from 8 to 11 Eastern. You can link it from my site at keyholepublishing.com, but it's with the Global Radio Alliance.
That's
the new
nice.
Startup. They've been really nice to me. And really, the show, at some point I'll start having guests on, but really that's not the focus. The focus is for me to have my own platform to do my thing. And we had the first week last week. It went well enough. I've got some new developments for the coming up future weeks, and
awesome.
I'm very hopeful it'll be a good show.
Awesome, awesome. I'll be sure to check that out and tune in. So before we got kicked off here, we were talking before we started the show, you were saying you think it's going to be a very interesting baseball year, and you're actually going to follow it. So that was
yeah, how about that for you?
Yeah.
Well, I grew up as a baseball fanatic. I think like you, like all of the other alternative research baseball experts that you've got on doing this, I'm sure we all grew up as baseball freakazoids as kids. I did. I've always loved the game. I play the game as often as I can, even now, as I'm approaching the age 50, coming up this summer. So I love baseball. The last couple of years, I haven't followed it quite as much. I will have to say that, just other research, other things intervene. But really, 2012 is going to be a fascinating year for baseball. First of all, we've got this new whacked-out extra playoff round, which I have to tell you, I'm not very happy about. I just think it further dilutes the meaning of the regular season. But I guess that's par for the course with what we've had the last 20 years or so in baseball.
Yeah.
The real issue, the real drama, and I'm not just saying this to stroke you, my man, but the real drama is going to be following the Boston Red Sox this year.
I agree. I think, you know, Bobby Valentine, this guy, it's going to be every day with this guy.
I remember Bobby V when he was managing the Mets, because I'm a New Yorker, always followed the New York teams. Not quite as much the Mets as the Yankees, admittedly, but look, I remember when Bobby Valentine managed the Mets, and he was kind of like, you know, their version of Billy Martin. I remember Billy Martin back in the day. Bobby Valentine is a guy who's always going to bring a very high level of personal drama to the game. Now, he's a very intense guy. He was a great baseball player, by the way. He's a true baseball man, kind of like a Pete Rose type of guy.
Yeah.
So now he's here in with the Red Sox. But the problem with the Red Sox, I'm not the typical Yankees fan who loves to hate on the Sox. I've never been like that.
Right.
I've always been happy when the Red Sox have success. I was very happy. I predicted that they were going to reverse the curse the moment they hired the statistician Bill James to be a consultant. I thought Red Sox are going to do it within 5 years, and they did. But here's the problem with the Red Sox. What was up with the team last year? I mean, they were so good, and then they sucked so hard all through September, and it wasn't a lack of talent, because they've got the talent. They've got reams of talent. Was it that they just stopped caring? Was it that they just wanted to rock and roll all night and party every day? Well, I think maybe.
Yeah.
I think maybe that was their problem. So it's a discipline problem. It's a character problem. And you don't normally get in a situation where you can really truly see this in a baseball team, but you can see it in the Red Sox. They're at ungodly levels of talent. They could win it all this year, but they've lost Theo Epstein. That's another real problem. They're great general manager, one of the best in the game, without question. And I've got to wonder, the Red Sox are going to be under such a microscope. And then plus, they're in the most brutally talented division in baseball, because you've got the Yankees, who have reloaded for another year. And the Yankees do look good. I don't know if they look great, but they look good. And they're certainly going to be in the mix. And then you got the Rays, who could surprise everyone and go all the way. And actually, I will just tell you, I'm rooting for the Rays. I'm not rooting for the Yankees, and I'm not rooting for the Red Sox, my man. I'm rooting for the Rays, and the reason is their salary is something like one-fourth the level, and they still have a good team. This is one reason I was always hot on the Twins, because they did the same thing. And I was a big fan of the Oakland Athletics when they were having their moment. That's gone. I think they got nothing left. But And then the other thing the Red Sox have to deal with is Toronto Blue Jays, a team that gets no respect, mainly because they're a decent team, but they're in a great division. If you put the Blue Jays anywhere else, they would probably have won
a
couple of wild card berths.
They get incrementally better every year, a little bit better.
They're a very strong team. So the Red Sox, but I think the Red Sox are at the center of the drama in the AL East, and they're really going to be fascinating to watch. I'd like to see them do well, but I only want them to do well if they earn it, and by that, I just want them to play, to act like grown-ups rather than like little kids.
Yeah.
And if they can do that on the field, let them go all the way.
Now, what are your thoughts on the Yankees here to start the season? What do you think of that trade they made where they traded that really hot prospect for the pitcher from Seattle?
Oh, yeah. I have to tell you the truth. When I learned about that, I had to, like, read up and think, oh, this prospect, yeah, he looks really good. So I don't know. I'm afraid because I think that the guy they picked up, is this Pineda?
Something like that, yeah, Pineda.
He hurt his shoulder already.
I know, he's already on the DL.
He's already.
Crazy.
So, like, here we go. You've just given away this awesome young talent, and we're going to have 5 years of the DL for this guy I'm seeing. So, I don't know. I'm a little bit, and this is typical Yankee behavior, by the way. You get rid of your great young prospects for a guy who is really either over the hill on his way down or just such a wild card gamble. So I don't know. I think the problem with the Yankees, they've got a great starting pitcher with Sabathia.
Yeah.
Mariano Rivera, he's obviously made a pact with Satan. I know he's godly, but I don't understand this because Rivera has no business at his age being as great as he is, but he was great again last year. So as long as Rivera is supernaturally great, the Yankees are going to be a threat. But the problem is they're getting old in some of the key places. Derek Jeter, I'm afraid, is going to become an embarrassment this year. If his pride holds out and he doesn't allow himself to move off of shortstop, it's going to get ugly. A-Rod is not the player, not anywhere near the player he used to be. You still got Tejera and Cano, and I certainly warmed up to Granderson after he had such a good year. So they've got a very good group of core players, and they've got good starting pitching even behind Sabathia, at least, let's say, decent starting pitching. So the Yankees could go. They've got a very strong team. They can still put runs up there, and they could also go all the way. But I think actually an equally good team in the AL East would be the Rays.
Yeah.
They're at about the same level.
They have a certain chemistry, too, that is hard to sort of match, you know. They have sort of we're all in this together kind of thing.
Well, they got young guys, and they got young guys who are, for the most part, not making mega millions of dollars.
Yeah.
So they've got this, you know, we can do this attitude, and how can you not love that? It used to be year after year that the Twins were like that. I remember the Angels, before they were named the ridiculous Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. What? Oh, my God. Who's the knucklehead who came up with that? But back in those days, those Angels were a great team to watch. The Twins were a great team to watch. The Athletics were. These small town, small market teams that find a way to be scrappy, what's not to love about them? And the Rays are the best version of that type of team in baseball today. They've got really a strong team that could go all the way.
Now, I was talking to Lauren Coleman about this, and I thought it would be a good sort of thing to ask you, since you're obviously, you know, really a student of history all the way around. How do you think this impending Hall of Fame ballot's going to shake out here with Clemens and Bonds and those guys on it? This is sort of the crucial year that everyone's looking forward to.
Well, my own feeling is I think both of those men deserve to be first ballot Hall of Famers. And if I were voting, I would put them in and just be done with it. Because the more that baseball has this Pete Rose type nonsense where you've got an obvious first rate, great, heroic player, and you just keep locking him out year after year, I just think is stupid, and I just think it makes baseball look bad, to be honest with you. You know, think about Pete Rose. It's been over 20 years now, and they're still having this pissing contest with him, like, you're not allowed in, you're banned. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I grew up watching Pete Rose play. He was easily one of the top two, three exciting players of his generation. Many would say he was the most exciting player. And he was always the guy who was the focus of attention on the field. Clemens, look, Roger Clemens was a beast throughout his entire career. And here's the thing about the whole issue of steroids. Bud Selig allowed all of this very, very happily to develop all through the 1990s. He didn't give a crap. No one cared. Nobody cared. Everyone knew that these players, all of them, were juicing. And no one gave a damn because, frankly, the attendance was great and guys were hitting home runs and that was sexy and it was great and everyone thought, oh, wow, how awesome. Everyone noticed that Barry Bonds' hat size grew about 12 sizes. And everyone noticed that Mark McGwire grew into this Goliath type of human being. and no one, beyond little whispers, they all just let it ride. And then the whole thing comes crashing down. And the players who are under tremendous pressure. Look, it's easy for people like us who don't make any money to say, oh, well, he's making $20 million a year. He should know better. But look, the thing is, for these guys who are at the top of their game, Bonds and Clemens and McGwire, you're talking about world-class athletes who take a lot of pride in what they do, and they know that all these other players are juicing, lesser players who are going to have better seasons than they do because they're cheating and they're not. The entire Major League Baseball culture was infused with this type of mentality.
Yeah.
And to punish these guys, and then the ultimate indignity of getting the United States Congress involved, it's just a slap in the face and an insult and an embarrassment. There's no reason Congress ever had any business getting involved in any of that nonsense and putting people like Clemens on the stand for fear of imprisonment if he were not to tell the truth and essentially destroy his reputation and career for all time.
Yeah.
Of course the guy's not going to do that. It's just a ridiculous situation. So long story short, I would have those guys in the hall. And Bonds really is not the most gracious man ever to wear a baseball uniform. But then again, a lot of these guys aren't.
Right.
A lot of the greatest ball players. I mean, Barry Bonds, who was ever better? Even before he hit all the ridiculous numbers of home runs in the late 90s and early 2000s, Barry Bonds was the greatest baseball player of the 1990s, bar none. He had the entire package. Even when he was a skinny kid with the Pittsburgh Pirates, he was phenomenal, and he matured into this incredible ball player with the most tremendous plate discipline and power. Barry Bonds had it all for the longest time.
But do you think how do you think it will shake out? Now, we got your take on it, but how do you think
Oh, well, no, they're not going to go in. They'll be out.
That's why.
They're not going to win. So, all of that grand eloquent defense of them will go for naught. I think what will happen is, I think there's been such a kind of a combination of small-mindedness and kind of purient, holier-than-thou attitude that has infused so much of baseball now. It's become so politicized, so corporatized. And this is really, I guess, a sign of globalization, and Bud Selig has certainly done everything possible to accelerate that. So I guess we would have to expect this type of culture, hypocritical culture, I'm saying, to infuse the sport, unfortunately. And, no, I think Bonds and Clemens will be just like Pete Rose. They'll either be officially or unofficially blacklisted, from the hall, despite the fact that they were each of them, I think, arguably the greatest players of their generation. Bonds, the greatest position player, and Clemens, really, I'd have to say the greatest pitcher, just a hair above guys like Greg Maddux or Randy Johnson. I'd say Clemens has to be the best.
Yeah. Maybe there'll be some reevaluation in a few years where they have to, you know. I think there'll be some kind of outrage almost at some point, you know, where people
when
will be outraged
when
and they're not
75 and, you know, near death.
Yeah.
Pete Rose, how old is he now? He's got to be in his mid-60s, right? I'm thinking early. He's probably about 70.
Yeah, thereabouts,
so
sure, yeah.
Give Pete Rose another 10 years, And when he's old, he's lost all his weight, and he looks awful, and people realize he's got like 3 years to live, they'll say, oh, yeah, let's put Pete back. Let's put him in.
Yeah.
That's, they'll do that. You know, by then Selig will be gone. But, you know, one of the things against Pete Rose is that Bud Selig was a very close friend of Bart Giamatti, who was the commissioner at the time when they when he banned Rose for life.
Right.
Selig and Giamatti were very close, and Selig has essentially, I don't know what it is, almost like a vendetta or an homage to his old friend, but as long as Selig's in charge of Major League Baseball, Rose will never get reinstatement.
Yeah. Are you ready for the predictions on a more uplifting note?
As ready as I will be, sir.
All right. We'll start in our home turf here, the American League East. Who you got?
Yeah, by far the most interesting division.
Absolutely.
And the scariest division. Now, I have a question for you. I think, so you can have two wild cards from one division, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so you
like, it could be the Yankees getting the East and then the Rays and the Red Sox each getting the other wild cards.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah, which I think is, you know, the way that it's turning out for me. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go for the Rays on top. I think this is going to be their year in the American League East.
Okay.
It's a little bit out there, I admit. It's not the safe choice going with the Sox or the Yanks, but, you know, here's something that I've learned over the years. First of all, predictions inherently are difficult. Secondly, even baseball freaks, like guys who are following this, they're always wrong.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to worry too much about this. You got a lot of people picking the Yankees. I'm going to go with the Rays. Although I do think the Yankees are going to get the wild card. Red Sox. Yeah, I'll put them in for the second wild card slot. So it's going to go Rays, Yanks, Sox. American League Central, I want to say the Twins, but look, even I don't have that much loyalty. I'm expecting the Twins to bounce back. They're not going to have quite the awful year that they had last year, but they're not going to contend. It's Detroit all the way in the Central. Detroit has got the package. They've got really a very, very strong team. How do you not love Miguel Cabrera? He's like Albert Pujols. He's the second incarnation of Albert Pujols, it seems to me. And I think he's going to be better than Pujols this year, by the way.
Yeah, it's going to be they're a really good team in a fairly weak division, too. So
there's no one else.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the White Sox will surprise me. Maybe the Indians will surprise me. But I don't think so. I'm thinking it's going to be the Tigers, and I don't know if anyone else is going to have a winning record over in the AL Central, to be honest with you. It's pretty slim pickings.
Yeah. Now, how about the West, where it's shaping out to be a battle of superpowers between the Angels and the Rangers?
Yeah, I know. Well, I've wanted to say Rangers. I was thinking Rangers again, but then when the – here it is, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. they picked up Pujols. I thought, that is really going to be fun to see. I'm going with the Rangers. I think they're going to take out the Angels. I mean, part of it is that Pujols, I'm not expecting him to have quite the level of a monster year that he's had. He's switching leagues.
Yeah.
He's switching pitchers, opposing pitchers. I'm sure Pujols is going to be very, very good. But he's also, what, 32, 33? He's on the beginning of a decline. I'm not saying he's going to bottom out. I wouldn't expect that. But I'm looking at the Rangers. I'm guessing a lot of people are picking the Angels, but I'm going to go with the Rangers.
Yeah, it's kind of a toss-up. And then you have the Yankees and the Red Sox for the wild cards.
Yes, I do.
Okay. They're not weighted, by the way. So if it goes Red Sox Yankees or Yankees Red Sox, it's the same amount of points. So
glad to hear it.
Don't worry about that. you can't get that specific. All right, over on in the National League for the East, who do you have?
Well, again, I always want to say the Mets, but I can't say the Mets until they stop sucking. So until that happens, it can't be. Look, the Phillies have owned the National League East really, essentially for the last decade, more or less, certainly the last 5 years. I think this is going to be their last year on top. I think they're going to barely hang on. They're getting kind of old.
Yeah.
Unless they go through a really effective youth movement, I think, and they're going to have to struggle this year because you got this the Miami Marlins, who stole away Jose Reyes from the Mets.
Yeah.
And now has dyed his hair purple. not purple, orange, excuse me. Have you seen this picture?
I didn't see it yet, no.
Reyes and Hanley Ramirez kind of got this orange hair thing going.
Oh, goodness. It looks wild down there in general, the new stadium and all that stuff.
I actually want to hate the Marlins. I want to hate them so bad. But they're looking pretty good. They got a lot of guys. But I think they're not going to overtake the Phillies. I'm thinking Philadelphia, last hurrah for them atop the American League East.
Okay.
I am thinking that the Marlins will have a shot at the wild card, but they're not my wild card pick.
All right. Yeah. I think I feel kind of the same way. They'll be bubbling around in the close to it. But how about in the Central, which is looking weaker than ever?
Yeah, well, don't look for the Cardinals to do anything. Cardinals are going to bottom out. They got the fork in them. I was actually not a huge fan of Tony La Russa like a lot of people were, except for his hair. How do you not love the man's hair? or Dave Duncan, for that matter, who I just thought was overrated. But they had Prince Albert. He's gone. It's over. And they really don't have a whole lot else.
Yeah.
That I can see. I think they got an old team that's, I want the Brewers, despite the fact that they're Bed Selig. I like the Reds. Here's one thing I'll say. The Cubs, who I will not pick, nevertheless, in the next few years, look for the Cubs to turn their stuff around because they got Theo.
I think so, too, yeah. Yeah, not this year, but in the next couple years.
The Cubs are the Red Sox in the National League. Red Sox have Fenway. The Cubs have Wrigley. The Cubs are just like the Sox were for years without going all the way. And I really want to see the Cubs turn it around. They're not going to do it this year, but I think in the next few years, they're going to be in the hunt.
Okay.
NL Central, honestly, it's a toss-up. I'm going to say Brewers.
All right. Sounds good. And then in the West.
Yeah, this is a division I've always hated. I've never had love for the National League West. Why? I don't know. Maybe because I live on the other side of the country. Maybe because I don't really identify with these teams. Who gives a crap about the Rockies, for example?
Right.
Do they even have fans? I don't think how can they? The Padres look awful. The Dodgers look pretty good, and they got Don Mattingly as their manager, and, you know, for a Yankee fan like myself, I gotta like that. But I guess I'm looking at the D-backs to go into first place. I think they're gonna win the division. Not that I know them very well, but I guess what I can say is the other baseball experts on the internet seem to think the Diamondbacks are really good. really, from what I've been able to learn about them, Diamondbacks, I'd like to see the Dodgers do well, and I'd like to see them not do well. Giants, I don't even care about these teams. You know, honestly, if they fell into the Pacific Ocean, I would not care. I'll be in Phoenix at some point this year, so I have a person out there who said, yeah, we can hopefully catch a D-backs game. So for that reason and that reason alone, I'm going to go with Arizona.
There you go. All right.
So now I've chosen wild cards for the National League. I don't think I have.
No, you have not chosen the wild cards yet. I found this to be the toughest part of the picks because it's like you have the certain dominant teams in the National League that you can kind of get a feel for, but it seems like there's a lot of teams that could slip in to the wild card spots, so I'll be interested to see who you have.
Yeah, actually, one team I didn't talk about, which I really found interesting, is the Washington Nationals. No one loves Washington, but you know what? The Washington Nationals have some good new guys on the team. I don't think they're quite the joke that they used to be. But having said that, for wild card, I guess I'll put Miami in there for a wild card. And who else do I have left over? Cincinnati. There you go.
All right, nice.
That's a whim.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, nobody on the show last year had any inkling of St. Louis going all the way. So
someone slips
through, and
I would not have picked St. Louis last year. I would have been. See, really, it was a good thing for me that I didn't do your show last year because I think I would have probably finished last place among all the guys making predictions. that was so bad.
All right, now who do you have coming out of the American League? the whole thing.
Okay,
you got Kevin
for World Series. We're making World Series predictions here?
Yeah.
Tigers.
All right. I like that pause. That was very...
I had to think about it.
Yeah. It's like a game show.
I didn't go into this interview with this in my head. I'm letting my psychic abilities come to the fore here.
All right.
This is a little-known talent that I have on occasion. I can pull out a psychic flash when I need it.
Well, you are a former champ here in the league, so...
Yes, indeed.
You have some cachet here.
That's right. A little bit of respect.
That's right. And on the National League side, who do you have winning the pennant on that side?
Oh, man. Miami.
Wow. All right.
Let's go for it.
Nice.
Let's just live a little, man.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I backed them pretty good. Not that far, but I sort of, you know why?
Because, look, I'm not saying Miami's better than Philadelphia. I think that they're actually not. But playoffs are a totally different animal.
Right.
So you have the grind of 162 games. That's going to separate the great from the lesser great. Playoffs, anything can happen. Anyone can get hot. And Miami, I don't know. They're just young enough. They're just exciting enough. Yeah. Tigers and Marlins.
All right. And then who do you have winning it all?
Tigers.
All right. Sounds good.
I have a feeling I'll be wrong about everything I've just said. But... Hey, you know what? It's been fun. I like chatting about baseball with you.
It'll be a good year because it's been all the predictions are all over the place. So it'll be there won't be too many ties, I don't think. So it'll be good.
No, I'll be in the baseball groove anyway. I'm the perennial coach for the Rochester, New York Homeschool Baseball League.
Wow.
Basically means that I round up a bunch of unorganized, disorganized kids, and I throw them out to a field, and I make sure that they have some fun.
Awesome.
I do that every summer. So I have my baseball groove on.
And you're not doing the old-time league
anymore.
Well,
you know, I did that for 5 or 6 years. I did 19th century vintage-style baseball. I love that game. I hurt my shoulder about 2.5 years ago. Now, it's my left shoulder, and I throw with my right. So, in theory, I could get by, but I really banged it up pretty bad. It's about 90% now. On the other hand, though, I'm not quite as fast, Tim, as I was about 10 years ago when I was playing this game. I still got some legs. I can still get around the bases, but it's tougher every year, and I've got a maniacally busy schedule.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's actually not too late for me to sign up for the year, and I still may do it. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, do I want another round of vintage baseball? Part of me says yes. I haven't... finished my decision-making process on that one.
There you go. All right.
It's a great game, though.
Well, we'll put the predictions in the vault, and you've teased us already with the events, and I mean with the new books and stuff that you're working on, and the new radio show, which is very exciting. And of course, folks can find out more at Keyhole Publishing. I'm sure lots and lots of speaking engagements, right?
Yeah, they do. I have to update all that. I've got a bunch of new speaking engagements coming up for the year. Not anything in the next couple of months, actually, but then it gets really crazy starting summer. And I got to get those on the site. But yes, I'll be doing a lot of travel in there.
Nice. So, folks, stay tuned to KeyholePublishing.com for info on that. And if you haven't seen Rich Dolan live yet, you're really missing out. So make a point to catch him for sure.
Thank you.
And on that note, thanks for coming back on the show. It's great to have you back on the baseball special, and I look forward to talking UFOs with you in the future for sure.
Absolutely, Tim. My pleasure.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.